This evening, as we briefly begin our look at Psalm 11, the title of the message is simply this: Simple Trust. Simple Trust. Simple Trust. That is what distinguishes the faith of God's elect. Simple trust. Simple trust. Too simple for many people. Not profound enough for many. Not wise enough for many. But that which brings salvation, that which brings God's people into the experience of God's salvation, to receive the forgiveness of sins, to know the blessings of God, to be kept by God, to walk with God, to indeed behold Him, is simple trust. Simple trust. The Lord Jesus said, the Lord Jesus says, that indeed we must be having faith as simple as a little infant. As a little infant. No wonder it's too simple for the world. No wonder it's so much so that the world mocks it. Because it depends upon nothing that you do. And yet, it is so profound. For indeed, even in the analogy, the simple analogy of a little infant, an infant can be someone from probably from 5 or 6 downwards. But whatever the age is spoken of here, it is a very young child, one dependent upon another for everything that they receive. As a little infant would depend upon their mother, would depend upon their father, but especially upon their mother. They would place simple trust. And how profound it is, because the Lord Jesus says, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And so, as newborn babes, we're told, we're to desire, earnestly desire, the sincere milk of the word. We look to God as newborn babes looking unto our Heavenly Father for all those good things that He gives to us. It's a simple trust. The true child of God places his trust in nothing else. Cannot. In nothing else but Him who alone is able to guide, able to direct, and most certainly is all sufficient to keep. The Lord God Almighty. That is who we trust. That is who we trust. We need none other. If God be for us, as we prayed, if God be for us, who can be against us? And if God be on our side, if we belong to God, we need no other. If God strengthens us, where else do we need to look for strength? The one who looks to God alone for hope, who looks to God alone for hope, does so in faith. In faith. Faith, which is the gift of God Himself, the gift of God's grace, as Ephesians 2 tells us. But what a gift it is. What a gift it is. Just to contemplate, just to contemplate as a believer, to contemplate as a child of God, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ now. But it wasn't always so. It wasn't always so. What made that change? What made that change? It was God Himself. It was God Himself giving you faith on His Son. What a gift it is. It is the gift that unlocks all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And as we begin to look, at this Psalm of David, where he states from the outset, he makes his statement of faith from the outset. From the very outset. Whom he looks to. Whom he looks to. In trust. Believing. In the Lord. I put my trust. I put my trust. Not only will. But actively do. He is my trust. And so as we look at these words this evening, I want us to see some lessons from the meaning of this word. From the meaning of this word translated trust. I want us to see some good lessons that we can grasp for our edification, for our building up in the faith. Meaning to flee for protection, to seek refuge in, to confide in, and to hope in. Now, in the first place, we see. And we must begin here. The Lord Jesus, who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life, whose name himself, whose very name is the Lord is salvation. Jesus, don't wear it out. What a name. What a name. The Lord is salvation. For he will save his people from their sins. What a name. What a name to, what a privilege to be permitted to call upon that name. To be drawn to call upon that name. To have that name revealed to us. He is what David the psalmist elsewhere calls my hiding place. He is my hiding place. To run to call upon, to take complete refuge in. And some of these terms will overlap this evening. He is my hiding place. And he repeats this twice in Psalm 32:7 and Psalm 119:114. He is that one place of protection. That one place of protection. That one place where we can run to be completely safe. And in, specifically in context with salvation, he is the one who we must and can place our trust in completely for salvation with God. His name is the one we must call upon to be saved. to know ourselves rescued from the power, from the bondage, and from the very condemnation of sin under the wrath of God. We read in the Revelation that the unbelieving, disobedient sinners will, even then, in foolishness, call when the wrath of the Lamb is revealed, when the Lord Jesus comes in great glory, they will call upon the hills and the mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. But for the child of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is the ark of salvation to us, who we flee to and have fled to. We have fled to find salvation in him, to find complete safety in him. Safety in him. Safe in his righteousness. Clothed in his righteousness alone. Made the very righteousness of God in him. Because as that ark of salvation, which pictured him in Genesis 6 and 7, that which took the very blows of God's wrath when the flood came upon the earth, and those eight souls were safe inside that ark, picturing that greater one who is our salvation, the Lord Jesus, upon that cross. He took the blows of God's wrath for us. He is our substitute saviour. And all who were in him, from given this salvation from before the world began, are safe and secure because he was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so when we flee to him knowing that we are safe in him. We are safe and secure in him. As the word of God promises in Romans 10, in these wonderful words, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no doubt. Whoever truly calls upon that name for salvation, trusts in that name, calls upon this one for complete protection, fleeing to him for salvation, shall be saved. And the child of God is the one who knows that this is so. Knows that this is so. In him I put my trust. I have put my trust. I continue to put my trust, because safe I am in him. In him and him alone there is salvation, the Bible tells us. As Acts 4:12 declares, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only name. He is the only name to be trusted for salvation. The one who is drawn to know salvation by the grace of God will trust. Yes, flee from the wrath which is to come for sin. It's called to be made wise unto salvation. No one who's made so wise unto salvation to know that there is the wrath to come and that they are guilty, convicted of their sin, knowing that they must be punished for their sin if there be no Saviour. And then when they are brought to see that he is that way, they are made wise to know that he is the way of salvation. Not one fails to come to him, to flee to him. Only those who are still ignorant of this salvation. Yes, to flee from the wrath which is to come, trusting completely in the very person and the name of the Lord. It's not just the name. It's not just the name. It's not just some name we've attached to nobody. It's not just some made up figment of someone's imagination. We trust in the name and the very person of the Lord Jesus himself, the God of salvation, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Secondly, we see, as the immediate context of David, the psalmist's situation was, him being in the very peril of his enemies, coming against him from varying sides, even from his own family. See, his only confidence, his sole confidence, his only confidence that he had. For outwardly, as men would look at it, outwardly he would appear to have nothing, absolutely nothing, to give him confidence and hope. Nothing to have confidence and hope in, as he was open to all manner of physical and mental attacks from men. But David here shows us. David shows us that his trust was in him. Was in him who was his protection. As the word here, trust, also means to flee for protection. The ESV reads, in the Lord I take refuge. I take refuge. There are many things in this world that people are forced to take refuge from. The sadness of abusive relationships, the sadness of those who are refugees having to flee all manner of hardship and persecution. Well, the Lord's people can take refuge in him, in him who is all our trust. Refuge from the very storms of life. We see what Psalm 46 tells us. What wonderful words these are in Psalm 46. It promises the elect of God here, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's always our help. He's our present help. Run to, flee to him. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. I wonder the psalmist there says, Selah. Pause and think on that. Though the earth be removed. We can't get our head around that. Though the earth be removed. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. God's people are still there. Safe and secure. Safe and secure in him who is our refuge. Because indeed we are promised. We are safe under the everlasting arms. In the hand of the Saviour, in the hand of the Father, we are secure. None shall pluck us. Take comfort from these words, child of God, this evening. Surely a refuge is a shelter. A refuge is a shelter. A place to run to for safety. Yes, there are times we must run. We run to. We also run from temptation. We are told to flee from temptation. And who do we flee to? We flee to the Lord Jesus himself, who was in all points tempted, yet without sin. We flee to our great high priest. We flee to the throne of grace. Yes, it's a place of safety. And you who belong to Christ, you who belong to Christ, can flee constantly, continually to him, knowing him to be your safe harbour. Your safe harbour from the tempestuous sea of troubles. That life so often is it not? The child of God, putting your trust in him who is God, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, find him to be our high tower. No wonder he's called our high tower, because the image is indeed that all our enemies, they cannot reach us. They cannot reach us. Yes, they may be able to destroy the body, but they cannot destroy the soul. We trust in him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. He is all our hope and stay. He is a bastion of calm and tranquility, leading beside, as David says in Psalm 23, the still waters. Surely those still waters of his grace, those still waters of his presence with us. Thirdly, the Lord is the one that his people come to in order to confide. To confide. For indeed, of course, he knows it already. He knows it altogether. He knows it altogether already. There's not a word on my lip that he doesn't know altogether. Before I even thought it, he knows that thought. We come and confide to pour out the very concerns of the heart unto him. The joys and the woes. Don't forget the joys. Don't forget the praises. There are very few people that an individual in this life would trust in order to confide secret, private things. There's very few people that we would trust in to confide such things, the very inward concerns of the heart. But the Lord Jesus, speaking of personal prayer, tells us that it is prayer before God, a very private, even secret place between the Lord and his child. And we share everything the very concerns of our hearts, the inward concerns of our hearts to him. Matthew 6, whenever you pray, enter into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. How often is it that you cannot bring your troubles? I'm talking about the inner troubles, the inward troubles. That you cannot bring your troubles even to the very nearest and dearest. You just wouldn't share them with them. Yet, as you know, you have an advocate on high. Even Jesus the righteous. All, therefore, is well with your soul. Because you do not have to keep that inside. Because you can come to him. You can come to him at any time. As your great high priest, your great saviour, your great God, your great prophet, who is even called our brother. Not ashamed to call us brethren. As we read these words in Psalm 3. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me all around. Such is the confidence of the one who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the one who puts his trust in the Lord. And so be, therefore, child of God, be as David. Be as David, trusting, confiding in him, who is your keeper and your sustainer. Yes, he is even the lover of your soul. Your beloved. Ever cry out. Ever be caused to cry out. As the Shulamite. Where is my beloved? Where is my beloved, the Lord Jesus? Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. That he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5. He cares for you. So humble yourself before him. Cast your care upon him to know that care for you. Fourthly, the one who trusts in Christ, looking to him alone. The one who trusts in Christ, looking to him alone for salvation, for redemption, and peace with God through his one sacrifice made at the cross, offered up for our offenses, for our transgressions, our sins, which have separated us from God. Jesus, our substitute Saviour, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He is our hope. He is our hope. He is our trust. We trust as those who hope in him. All our hope and stay. The hope of eternal life is ours in him, which is a living hope. It is a sure and certain hope. For trusting in the Lord is to have hope. That's why it's so important in these days where people are just going around as if the end was nigh. Going around as indeed they are petrified. And I'm sure many are. We are the light that must be shining forth. Showing forth that there is hope. There is hope. And we have hope. Trusting in the Lord is to have hope. Making him your only hope is to have hope. And what a hope indeed belongs to the people of God, chosen in Christ Jesus, redeemed and called by grace. As Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That's our hope. That's our hope. That's why we trust in the Lord. As we draw to a close, we read these words from Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from the law, from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. We do not know what was the effect of David's witness upon those around him as he continually made the Lord his trust and all his hope. But among the ungodly, unregenerate, who have no hope, being without God in the world, among whom we mix, among whom we come into contact, those who have no hope, may we be seen. May we be known as those who have all hope. Certain, immovable, eternal hope. As those who can say and do say, and do live in the light of, saying, in the Lord put I my trust. Amen.